Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. Dr. Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield was one of the great scholars who belonged to the old Princeton School of Theology. His books on the inspiration of the Bible and on the deity of Christ are classics. In 1918, Dr. Warfield wrote a book with the title Counterfeit Miracles, which was originally published by Scribner's. Baker Bookhouse of Grand Rapids, Michigan, reprinted the book in 1953 under the heading Miracles, Yesterday and Today, True and False. The book is composed of lectures that Dr. Warfield delivered in 1917 at Columbia Theological Seminary in Columbia, South Carolina. Dr. Warfield forcefully argued that the age of miracles has ceased. He discussed many of the fraudulent miracles that various religious organizations have claimed over the years. I shall devote our lesson today to the original title of Dr. Warfield's book, Counterfeit Miracles. Do you ever wonder if the healings you see on television are genuine? If the healings of television evangelists like Benny Hinn and Rod Parsley are real, they have performed more miracles in their ministries than all the great miracle workers of the Old Testament and of the New combined. I'm amazed at the great number of people they claim to heal. If they have miraculous powers they pretend to have, why do they not visit hospitals and nursing homes across our nation and heal the multitudes of people who suffer from cancer, from heart trouble, from kidney failure, and from other dread diseases? Are they being compassionate when they fail to heal all the sick people in their communities? The sad truth is, the ones who claim to have miraculous powers are deceiving their viewers. They are making claims they cannot sustain. A substantial number of those who claim to work miracles have been shown to be fakes and frauds. A friend of mine showed me a video of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. James Randi, whose stage name is The Great Randi, is a magician who exposed Peter Popoff, a charismatic preacher, as a fraud. He explained how he accomplished it. Popoff had the people who attended his healing services to write their names and sicknesses or diseases on a card. Popoff gave the cards to his wife, who took them to a room off the auditorium. When Popoff mentioned the name of a sick person, his wife looked at the card and whispered the person's sickness into a tiny hearing aid connected to a high-frequency receiver. He would then pretend to be receiving from God a message about the person's malady. He was actually listening to his wife give the information he needed. Randi employed an electronic scanner to show that Popoff was deceiving his audience. Randi completely destroyed the ministry of Peter Popoff, and should have. Nobody has a moral right to deceive people. James Randi's book, The Faith Healers, has a complete account of his exposition of Peter Popoff. Randi says Popoff claimed to have seen his father change water into wine. He said he and his wife drove more than 50 miles on a nickel's worth of gas because God had shown them how to do it. Page 139. Peter Popoff was also one of the health and wealth gospel preachers. Randi quoted these words from one of Popoff's tapes. I believe that some of you have something in the land, in cars, in houses, in your savings accounts, money that you were going to use for something else. You're going to loan it to Jesus now, and God is going to give it back to you many, 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 many times over. Page 167. How tragic that a preacher would so blatantly lead people astray. Should not people use their Bibles and their good judgment to avoid being taken in by men like Peter Popoff? It breaks my heart to know how some of these false teachers take advantage of others, especially of old people. What some modern charismatics seem not to realize is that many within the New Age movement have just as much evidence to establish their miracles as the charismatics do. I shall take time to give you a few examples. People within the New Age movement promote levitation. Levitation means that objects, such as pianos, tables, other material objects, including human beings, rise or float in the air in defiance of gravity. Some New Agers refer to Ezekiel's being miraculously transported as an example of levitation. They also speak of Christ walking on water to justify their belief in levitation. In her wildly popular book, Out on a Limb, New Age guru Shirley MacLaine claims to have seen a Bhutanese lama levitate 3 feet off the ground. Another lama told her she would not have seen the levitation had she not been prepared to see it. Pages 87 and 88. Jesus Christ is God, and not only can walk on water, He is the one who made the water. His miracles were designed to prove to the world that He was what He claimed to be, God manifest in the flesh. On Pentecost, the Apostle Peter assured the Jews that God had approved of Jesus of Nazareth by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Acts 2:22. According to the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 1:4. Levitation would clearly be a miracle. What purpose would be served if a Bhutanese lama could levitate? Would levitation prove him to be a spokesman for God? The Bhutanese lama simply deceived Shirley MacLaine. Can you imagine our Lord saying when He walked on the water, "You would not have seen this great miracle if you had not been prepared for it"? The miracles of Christ and of His apostles were not done in a corner. They were not hidden from those who were present when they were performed. Many of the New Age adherents accept what they call automatic writing. The person who claims this supernatural ability, and there are many who do, goes into a trance, then sits down at his typewriter or computer and lets some divine power dictate what he writes. Those who engage in automatic writing claim they do not know what they have written until they come out of their trances. In her book, Out on a Limb, Shirley MacLaine tells of a visit she and David made to a home in Peru. A young girl met them at the door and explained that her mother had been working on her Sanskrit text all morning. Shirley and David wondered why she was writing in Sanskrit, an ancient classical language of India and of Hinduism, and an extremely complicated language, one of the most difficult languages in the world. The daughter said her mother had never had any education in Sanskrit and did not understand what she was writing. When she goes into a trance, the automatic writing begins to flow. David informs Shirley that this Peruvian woman is known as one of the world's renowned experts on Sanskrit. Pages 339 and 340. There are a great number of problems with this story in Shirley MacLaine's book. For a Peruvian woman or anyone else to write or to speak in a language that person has never studied would require supernatural intervention. What purpose would be served by such intervention? Would God be endorsing some element of the New Age movement? The New Age movement is basically pagan. How could God Almighty approve of teachings and practices that directly contradict His Word? The spectacular miracles on Pentecost were designed to initiate the new covenant. Do automatic writing, automatic drawing and painting, automatic speaking and such like announce the beginning of the age of Aquarius? Oddly enough, some New Agers think of the New Age in terms of what they imagine is the biblical millennium. For a number of years, Ruth Montgomery was a highly respected Washington correspondent for the New York Daily News. She covered many outstanding conferences and other events in Washington and around the world. She also interviewed a number of world leaders. Her colleagues praised her for her ability as a reporter. Then, according to her testimony, her spirit guides, by means of automatic writing, began to reveal messages from the world beyond. Her books describe her as today's leading psychic authority. I have 9 of her books, all of which she claims were dictated by her spirit guides. She says she is channeling Arthur Ford, a well-known psychic from Kentucky. Ford, a preacher for the Disciples of Christ, died in 1971, but has been in contact with Ruth Montgomery during the past several years. At least, that is her testimony. But we know from a scriptural viewpoint, such is not the case. Attempting to communicate with the dead is an abominable practice. If you have any doubt about that, read your Old Testament. When the Israelites were preparing to cross the River Jordan and enter the land of Canaan, God gave them specific instructions about adopting the abominable practices of the pagan nations around them. If the Israelites embraced any of the heathen beliefs and practices, God would not drive the pagan nations from Canaan. And what were some of their abominations? The King James Version calls one of the practices necromancy, Deuteronomy 18:11. The New American Standard Bible translates the Hebrew, one who calls up the dead. The prophet Isaiah strongly condemned those who attempt to consult the dead and not the living God. And when they say unto you, seek unto them who have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that whisper and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? Isaiah 8:19. Is it possible Isaiah was consciously reflecting on what God had said through Moses? And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among the people. Leviticus 20:6. Have you seen John Edwards' television program, Crossing Over? His program and his book, Crossing Over, The Stories Behind the Stories, promote one of the very worst forms of superstition. There is one thing for sure. John Edwards is not contacting the dead. He has deceived his audiences for profit. There is no possibility of his contacting the dead. According to the teaching of Scripture, what John Edwards attempts to do is contrary to good sense and to the will of Almighty God. Besides, he often misses badly what he claims to know. I have heard him do it time after time, but no one seems to notice. His audiences are composed of very gullible people. How can intelligent people listen to deceivers like John Edwards? Former Bishop James Pike of the Episcopal Church used one of England's most highly regarded psychics to attempt to contact his son Jim, who had committed suicide in New York. James Pike's book, The Other Side, tells of his asking Canon Pierce Higgins of the Church of England to recommend a psychic. Pierce Higgins said that Ina Twigg was the best sensitive I know, but I know she is very busy and has very few appointment hours open. Page 103. When James Pike turned the door lock at Ina Twigg's house, he says he had a distinct feeling that his son Jim was there. Page 112. Through the psychic, Jim is supposed to have told his father that he had heard nothing about Jesus on the other side. Page 122. There is one thing for sure. If that were true, young Jim Pike is not on the side where I want to go. I want to go where Jesus is. How absolutely and utterly ridiculous that a leader of any church, or for that matter, any other intelligent person, would turn to paganism for answers to his concerns about life after death. There is one and only one reliable source about life after death, the inspired Word of Almighty God. All the so-called miracles of the New Age movement are fraudulent and, in some cases, are not unlike the spurious miracles of Pentecostalism. For example, modern Pentecostals claim to be able to speak in tongues, like the apostles did on Pentecost, Acts 2:4, and some of the Christians at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 12:10. It is not unusual for adherents of the New Age movement to make the same claim. But the truth is very plain. Neither Pentecostals or members of the New Age movement can speak in tongues, whatever their beliefs and teachings. It just simply cannot be done, as Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Tongues have ceased. I have a question for you to consider. Does the Bible make any reference to counterfeit miracles? When God commissioned Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, he said to Moses, "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, Take your rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Aaron threw down his rod, and it became a serpent. The Egyptian Pharaoh called his wise men and sorcerers. They were able by hook and crook to duplicate Aaron's miracle. But Aaron's rod swallowed the other rods." Exodus 7, 7, 9, 11, and 12. The magicians also duplicated the miracle of turning water into blood. But when Moses and Aaron brought lice on the land, the wise men and sorcerers were stumped. They said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." Exodus 7, 19, 22, 8, 16 through 19. How were the magicians able to turn their rods into serpents and turn water into blood? We are not told, but there is hardly any doubt that these were counterfeit miracles. They had no more power to perform genuine miracles than modern members of the New Age movement or Pentecostal preachers. Those magicians were skilled in making their activities appear to be miraculous, but they were deceiving their viewers, just as modern charismatics deceive their viewers. No one is performing miracles any longer. No one. Philip the Evangelist visited one of the cities of Samaria. His purpose in going to Samaria was to preach Christ unto them, which he did, Acts 8, 4 and 5. But to prove that he was truly God's spokesman, God enabled him to perform miracles. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts 8, 6 and 7. In the city of Samaria, where Philip preached, there was a sorcerer who had bewitched the people of Samaria, telling them that he was a great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Acts 8, 9, and 10. But Simon the sorcerer was a deceiver and a fraud. He apparently was very clever, but did not have any supernatural powers. His so-called miracles were fraudulent. We must realize that just because a man claims to have miraculous powers does not mean he has them. Do you remember what the Apostle John wrote? "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John 4, 1. The same apostle also wrote, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." 2 John 7. As our time draws to a close, I have several questions I must ask. Am I saying in this lesson today that God no longer has the power to do miraculous works, as non-charismatics have been accused of believing? I am not saying that because I do not believe it. But the age of miracles has ceased because there is no longer any new revelation to confirm. God's purpose for this age does not include miracles, as a careful reading of 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13 should make plain. Besides, many of those who claim to perform miracles preach false doctrine. For example, there are health and wealth preachers who pretend to have supernatural powers. Would God endorse with miracles men and women who preach doctrines that are clearly opposite to what the Bible teaches? Am I saying that Pentecostals and other so-called miracle workers are dishonest? I do not know if they are honest, but I expect there are some more men like Peter Popoff. But honesty has absolutely no bearing on whether the men and women who claim to perform miracles can actually do so. The crux of the matter is, what does the Bible teach on the topic? If the Bible teaches that miracles have ceased, they have ceased, regardless of the honesty of those who believe they have the ability to perform miracles. when Pentecostals restore a severed ear, replace a leg or an arm that has been lost, or raise someone from the dead, we might have to take a look at some of their beliefs and actions. Am I saying that Pentecostals have never healed anyone? Millions of people have been healed because they have developed a positive attitude toward their illnesses and toward life. This is generally called psychosomatic healing, that is, the power of the mind to heal the body. Larry King asked Benny Hinn if some of his miracles were not psychosomatic. Benny Hinn said they probably were, but they were miracles too. That is not the biblical view of miracles. People have been healed by voodoo practitioners, by psychics, by Indian shamans, and by those who practice the therapeutic touch. But those healings are not miraculous. Nobody, I repeat, nobody, has miracle working power today, regardless of the pretensions of the charismatics. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.